Morning is a very simple one. How do you get well? What's the great secret to health? One, bitterness. That's the first of God's prescription. Two, a loving love. That's the second part of God's prescription for good health. Three, a forgiving forgiveness. That's the third part of being well. I don't mean being well of soul. I mean being well of body. I mean it'll help your arthritis. I mean it'll help your upset stomach. I mean it'll help your heart condition. I mean it'll help your gallbladder trouble. I mean it'll help you feel better. I mean it'll help your headaches. It'll help your back aches. It'll help your leg aches. Help your belly aches too, by the way. It'll help you. It'll make you well. It'll help you be well. Hezekiah said, God made me well. How'd God make you well, Hezekiah? Well, first he gave me a tablespoon of bitterness. Well, what else? Then he gave me, love lifted me up. And he gave me a loving love. What else? My sins were forgiven, and I got a forgiving spirit. And he said, when I had a bitterness, and a loving love, and a forgiving forgiveness, he said, I got well, lived 15 more years. Now, if you'll listen this morning, I believe I can help you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, blessed passage of Scripture. Thank you for King Hezekiah, the great king, one of the three greatest that ever sat on Judah's throne. And now this morning, give us the attention of all the people and speak to our hearts in sweetness. Hush the child. Quieten the teenager. Wake up the adult. And speak to our hearts. Amen. Set thy house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. Set thy house in order. Thou shalt die and not live. These words were spoken by God to King Hezekiah. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, the Bible says, and sought the Lord. There's a place that says he sought not the physician. There's nothing wrong with seeking the physician. But Hezekiah was incurably ill. Nothing a doctor could do for him. Nothing that medicine could do for him. He was incurably ill. He turned his face toward the wall. He sought the Lord. And the Lord raised him up. And miraculously, he gave Hezekiah 15 glorious, wonderful years to live. Now, Hezekiah, looking back over this wonderful healing, I mean miraculous, supernatural healing from God, Hezekiah recounts the prescription that God gave him for healing. The first thing he says is, God gave me a mara, a bitterness. Now, folks, listen to me for a minute this morning. Life is not full of sugar. There must be some bitter. Life is not full of mountains. There must be some valleys. Life is not full of highs. There must be some lows. Life is not full of sunshine. There must be some shadows. Life is not full of clear days. There must be some clouds. And for a healthy, well-rounded life, I mean bodily. I mean a healthy head. I mean a healthy stomach. I mean a healthy liver. I mean a healthy kidneys. I mean healthy feet. I mean healthy bones. I mean healthy glands. I mean healthy marrow. In order for us to be healthy, we have to have some bitter. And Hezekiah said, God raised me up, and the first thing he gave me was bitterness. Maybe your table was spread, and all was well. And as you sat at the feast table, the master of the feast entered. He cleared the table, took away the best wine, removed the fat, destroyed that food that was full of marrow, and replaced your banquet table with the bread of sorrows and a cup of wormwood. And if this morning you find your table doesn't taste very well, you find the food is tasteless and the drink is bitter, maybe you've drunk both gall and wormwood this morning. Or maybe you have made your nest as downy as you could, and God came and replaced the down with his thorns. Or maybe you have shod your feet with the prettiest shoes and find the road too rocky for their use. Or maybe you have climbed above the mountains until unexpected Alps rise above the horizon. And this morning the road is rocky and the burdens are many.
But that isn't all that happens sometimes. Sometimes God puts rocks in the rough road and makes the bitter bitter, until the king could come and said it was a bitter bitterness. It was a mara mara. Did you know it's often that way? God so often allows heartaches to stack one on top of the other. You felt the pain at first, and then when you did get some water, you found the water was too bitter to drink. Maybe you got sick of body, and before you know it, you got sick of soul, and bitterness stacked up on top of bitterness. Maybe you lost your health, and then like Job of old, after you lost your health, you lost a friend, and bitterness stacked up on top of bitterness. Maybe you found that ill things seldom come alone. Or maybe you, like Job, have lost your children, then you lose your possessions, and then you lose your health, and then you lose your friends, and before you know it, deep calleth unto deep. Maybe the wormwood follows the gall. Maybe the flying fish that flees the enemy of the sea finds the fowl pursuing it in the air. Maybe you find that that the adversities hunt in packs, and not only is the illness unbearable, but the medicine also tastes bad. And you say, "Dear Lord, when are you going to stop? The illness is bad enough, but the medicine is worse than the illness. Dear Lord, when are you going to stop? I lost my job and then lost my health." Hezekiah said, that made him well. It made him well. And he said this morning, dear friends, don't let a crooked path stop your journey. Don't let a rocky road stop your trip. Don't let a thorny way end your endeavor. Don't let a narrow way get your goal. Keep on going, though the thorns come. It may be that a baby has died, and you look at an empty crib this morning. It may be this morning that there's a little mound, and a cold day like this causes the tears to flow in your heart, sometimes even swell up in your eyes, as you think about that little bundle of flesh that once graced your home and for whom you had such hopes and dreams for the future out in the cold ground today. And it may be that the bitterness has come and the medicine has tasted bad and the hard times have come. It may be that you, like one of our precious families, has laid to rest this week a 15-year-old boy who suddenly in the prime of his high school years found that he had cancer of the bone. And then he wilted away to nothing, and last this week ago today, his life was taken, and on Tuesday morning, he was laid beneath the sod. That could die was laid beneath the sod. And it may be that you went back home and you saw a picture on the wall or on the mantel, and your heart broke in two, and the bitterness stacked on bitterness, and mara mara was your testimony. Oh, let me say this, God can use that to make you healthy. God can use that to make you well. God can use that for the good. Maybe you've lost your job. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was praying for our students this morning. I don't know why, but I was praying for our college kids. And I know some of them are having it tough. A young man last night said he couldn't pay his bill and he's going to lose his job, he thought, this week. And I was praying for our college students that are losing their jobs and having it rough. And I said, Lord, I said, bless our students. The one is best that student that's having it worse. And the Lord said to me, he may be having it best. It may be that student that has his mother and dad to pay his tuition has it worse. It may be he won't have the character that student that has to work all night will have because he made his own way. I'm simply saying, okay, the bitterness comes. I was thinking when I was in East Texas, I received a call to pastor a country church. And I said, country church out the edge of town near Marshall, Texas. And the church voted 27-26 for me to become their pastor. And, well, that's a pretty precarious vote. I couldn't join the church for 8 weeks after I became pastor because I couldn't get enough of my people there to vote me in. And so the treasurer was against me. He was also a professional wrestler, and so I didn't feel led to buck him a great deal. And he was against me. He wouldn't write me a check for 8 weeks. I didn't get one single penny. And I've never told the crowd this. I'm a little embarrassed to tell it, but I've never told an audience this in all these years. I've told a few people individually trying to encourage them, but I'm a little timid to tell it. But I can recall there was no food on the table and no food in the cupboard, and I was pastor of the church. In 8 weeks, we didn't get a paycheck. And I recall I went down and took what money I had and bought a lawnmower. I was pastor in the town, and I went up and down the street in East Marshall, Texas, with a lawnmower, asking folks if I could mow their yards. And I mowed yards for 2 or 3 weeks to get enough money to make ends. Hezekiah was dying. He turned his face toward the wall and sought the Lord. God gave him 15 wonderful, glorious years. How'd he do it? First, he had bitterness. Don't shrink from it. Thank God for bitterness. Thank God for the tears. Thank God for the heartache. Thank God for the bitter waters. Thank God for the gall. Thank God for wormwood. Thank God for the heartache. Thank God for the dead end. Thank God for the cloudy days. You've heard me say this so often. As I look back over my life toward the past, the days that I thought were cloudy were really clear. And the mountain peaks were really valleys, and the valleys were really mountain peaks. If I had to take back days in my life, and if I had to cut out some days in my life, I'd never cut out a day when the sorrow was so thick you couldn't see the future. I'd never do it. I'd take the heartache. I'd take the day when I thought my ministry was ended. I'd take the day when it was the saddest day of my life. I'd take that time. Because those stumbling blocks were only stepping stones and stair steps to greater service for God. You just take anybody you want to take that God has used. And God has used them by giving them the medicine of bitterness. You've heard me say it so often. Dwight L. Moody couldn't even be ordained to preach because he couldn't pass the test, the ordination test. At first, he couldn't even join the church. He couldn't even join the church, the Congregational Church in Boston. He couldn't pass the test of joining the church. Charles G. Finney was disowned by his own pastor, and his own pastor wouldn't even let him preach for him. Jonathan Edwards was voted out of the first church that he ever pastored. George Whitfield, did you know George Whitfield is still indicted in the state of Georgia? There's a court case still against George Whitfield in Georgia. You know why? He slapped a communion cup, Lord's Supper cup, out of a lady's hand. It wasn't saved. She said, I'm not saved, but I'm going to take communion. He said, you're not. He slapped the cup out of her hand. They got a case against him in Georgia still. I don't think it's going to do any good. He faced a bitterness. George W. Truett, the great pastor for 45 years of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, was out on a hunting trip with his best friend he had, crawling through a barbed wire fence. You Yankees don't know what barbed wire fence is, do you? But a barbed wire fence, crawling through a barbed wire fence, suddenly his finger got the trigger to the gun. The gun went off and shot his best friend and killed him. And George Truett suffered a lifetime for having accidentally killed his best friend. They built a building. I hate to even mention this, but they built a building over in London, Charles Spurgeon's Tabernacle. And the first day in the building, I think it was, they had a fire. Numbers of his folks were killed. He never got over it. Oh, Dr. Lee Robertson had, God gave him a little baby, and the baby girl was taken, named Joy, and Joy was taken, and from that came Camp Joy. Dr. Bill Rice, the baby girl was deaf. As a little baby, she got deaf. She's never heard in all these years. And from that came the great Bill Rice Ranch. Listen to me. I know the tears are many. I know we have a church full of heartache. And I know there's a pain behind every face. I know it. But don't shrink back from the tough days. Don't shrink back. God's trying to make you healthy. I was talking to a preacher last week. He said to me, he said, Pastor, Dr. Hiles, he said, I've had troubles. He said, I thought about quitting. He said, my Sunday school went from 1,000 in attendance down to 298. And he said, some dirty lies were told about me. And he said, I've tried to call you on the phone. I couldn't get you. I wanted to talk to you. And he said, for the house, it's been a rough year. I said, God's about to use you, buddy. God's about to use you. Why? Because when God comes along and says, drink this bitter water, that's good for your health. My mother used to feed me castor oil. I've hated her ever since. Castor oil, to me, is the most obnoxious, distasteful, undesirable, rotten, sorry, stinking, most miserable, wretched stuff in the whole world. You say, make your well. I'd rather die. But give me castor oil. And she'd say, drink it in orange juice. Doesn't do any good. Just makes it more castor oil. That's all. And you can't, won't mix together. And then that didn't work. She'd give me black draught. Anybody ever taken a black draught? They call it black draft sometimes. It cure everything from falling hair to falling arches. Anybody have any right now? I got some falling hair I'd like to cure. But she, how much is the dose? The wrong end of a spoon. She'd get the black draught, take the wrong end of a spoon, dip it down in there, and give it. And I couldn't understand it. But it always did the job. And many jobs it did. And always made me feel better and made me well. Didn't taste good. Has God given you some bitter medicine this week? Have you followed the hearse out to the cemetery? Have you turned these flowers this morning? Aren't they beautiful? But they mean one of our members followed the hearse to the cemetery and laid his dad away. I thought about Harry Ashby this week during the funeral service. I thought about him. And I thought of the day when I followed the hearse to a little grave in Italy, Texas, and laid my dad in the grave. And I thought of the bitter pain and the arrow that pierced my heart and the sword that went through my side and the heaviness in my heart and the loneliness I felt. And I said, oh, God, bless our people this week, Tuesday morning, during the funeral for the little boy. I thought I'd die. I was away. I wanted to be here. But I made God some promises about what I'd put first in my life. And I hurt. And Sunday night, about midnight, I was at the Hooker family's house. And as I got back home, I couldn't sleep. And I thought about them. Oh, this is a vale of tears. This old land of ours, this old world of ours, is one great mourning sound and one great pain. But hallelujah, God can take the bitterness and make it medicine for you and make you well. Hezekiah got well and said, I've got 15 years. How'd you get well, Hezekiah? I got well because of bitterness. Something else that made Hezekiah well. Not only bitterness, but a loving love. Hezekiah said, love pulled me out of the pit. What pulled you out of the pit, Hezekiah? Love. What healed you? Love. Did you know to be loved? There's strength in being loved. This man over here, Brother Fisk. And you know it. The one sentence that got him in our church was a little sentence of three words that I said to him when he came a lost sinner one day to visit our services. Our preaching couldn't do it. He didn't like my preaching very much, to be honest with you. And the preaching couldn't do it. But I told him I loved him. Back in the back, I put my hand in his and said, Mr. Fisk, I love you. And what the preaching couldn't do, the love did. And what the warning couldn't do, the love did. And what the music couldn't do, the love did. What the invitation couldn't do, the love did. And Hezekiah said, I got well. Why? God loved me well. That's why. I realize that God loved me. I know no greater thought this morning than that. A man came to me this week. I was down in South Carolina. He came to me and he said, Reverend, or Dr. Hiles, he said, if somebody just cared. And I began to cry and I said, I care. He said, you don't know me. But I said, I care. You're a human being. You're made in the image of God. God created you. You are a fellow traveler to eternity with me, and I care. And he said to me, I told him I loved him, and he said, I don't know how long it's been since anybody told me those words. He said, Dr. Hiles, I don't even remember the last time anybody said, I love you. And I got to thinking how many times I hear it. The little letters I get stuck under my door. a little girl, maybe 5-6 years old, and she'll write, "I love you, Brother Hiles. You're the greatest preacher in all the world." And then she'll put X, 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 and then 0, 0, 0. That means hugs and kisses, in case you don't know. And, how many people write me notes? Yesterday I got 3 notes. I actually got 3 that said I love you and 3 that said I hate you. Usually balances out about the same. But I got to thinking, wouldn't it be an awful thing for nobody to love you? I got to thinking that my mother took me to bed every night and said, "I love you, son. I love you, son." Maybe this morning nobody says it to you. Maybe this morning the children are grown and no longer they pat your cheeks and say, "I love you, Daddy." Maybe you wish they would. But maybe they're up teenagers now and they don't say it as much as they used to. And maybe you say it to them and they'll shrug their shoulders and say thanks. Or maybe you kiss them and they'll turn away. And maybe those words never said much to you. Listen to me. Listen to me, lonely heart. Listen to me, weary soul. Listen to me, tired mind. God loves you. There's no greater thought. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Hezekiah said, "I was sick. How'd you get well?" He said, "God loved me well. That's how I got well. His love lifted me up. His love made me feel better. His love healed me of my sickness. His love gave me new life." Let God's love give you new life this morning. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the whole contain the scroll, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. God loves you today. Little child tucked away up here in the primary one department who came on a bus and a mama never says, "I love you," God loves you. Junior child, there's a God who loves you this morning. It may be you live in a neighborhood and there's some kind of a gang there and nobody ever says, "I love you." God loves you, teenager. God loves you, junior too. God loves you, high schooler. God loves you, fallen man. God loves you, rescue mission man. God loves you, deaf people. God loves you, blind people. God loves you, forgotten people. God loves you, aged people. God loves you, senior citizens. God loves you, folks in rest homes. God loves you. And Hezekiah said, "I got well." What made you well? God's love made me well. A loving love. Elizabeth Barrett lay on her back as an invalid for years. For months and months she never lifted up her head. Till one day Robert Browning came to see her. First visit he made, she lifted her head up in bed. The second visit, she sat up in bed for the first time and ever in months. And the third visit, they eloped together. Why? There was strength in love. I've told this in several years now, but I'll never forget that day in our auditorium, old auditorium. That lady that sat up in the balcony, a lovely lady, her face was darker than mine. And I saw her as she, obviously a very cultured, refined lady, as she wiped a tear like this. Doc, the other day I was down in where was I preaching? Oh, I was down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And a lady came to me. She looked like, the leopards have stripes. Or spots. What has spots? Right. Zebra. She looked like a zebra. Honestly, she had black streaks all over her face. All over her face. And so she came up after the service and she said, "That was the best sermon I ever heard in my life." She said, "My friend here," her friend was laughing at her. She said, "My friend here told me, don't ever wear mascara when Dr. Jack Howes preaches." I didn't believe her. She said, I'll never wear mascara again. I said, lady, I ain't no mascara preacher, I'll tell you for sure. But I was looking up at that lady. She wiped a tear from her eye in the balcony. She was a Mexican lady, and a very fine lady, obviously, and dressed beautifully. Invitation came. She left the balcony upstairs, and she came down the aisle. And I said, you want to be saved? And she said, no hablo inglés. That means I can't speak English. And I said, I called one of our Spanish soul winners, and she was saved, sweetly saved. And after the service was over, I spoke to her through the Spanish interpreter, soul winner. And I asked her what I said in the sermon that got her saved. And she said, I couldn't understand a word of the sermon. And I asked her through the interpreter, well, why did you come forward then? And she wiped another tear, and she said, because it looks so good. It looks so good. And then she told me a sweet story, how it's that little four-year-old Mexican boy had died, and I conducted the funeral. And she said she came to the funeral, and she couldn't understand what I said, but she saw a tear in my eye, and she heard a pathos in the voice, and she said, it looks so good. It looks so good. She said, I wanted to come back and watch you preach again. Couldn't understand a word I said. It looks so good. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so good. It is so good. Jesus loves you this morning. He loves you. Years ago, when Mr. Ault, Irma McKinney's father, was having surgery one morning, I went by St. Margaret's Hospital on the way to the radio broadcast, and I had a quick prayer for him. And as I left to go to the broadcast, I had to hurry. I was rushing out of the room, and an old man in the, I mean, way 88 years of age, I think, in the bed beside Mr. Ault said, hey, Reverend! And I turned and saw it. I hadn't noticed him. Normally, I'd witness to the person in the next bed, but I had to get the broadcast. And he said, Reverend! And I said, what is it? I came back to him, he motioned back. And I put my head down close to his, and he said, Reverend, would you pray that same prayer for me? And as best I could, I prayed the same prayer for him. I prayed for Mr. Ault. And that old man reached up and took me by the cheek and squeezed my cheek, and he said, Reverend, that's the first time I ever heard anybody pray for me. How'd you get well, Hezekiah? Love. Love. Not only realizing that God loved him, but letting God's love flow through him to others. Reason many of you got nervous troubles and sickness, and many of you, because you don't know what it is to rejoice in his love to you and shed his love to others. Hezekiah got well because of a loving love. How'd you get well, Hezekiah? A love of bitter bitterness. How else? A loving love. How else? A forgiving forgiveness. Listen to me now. Hezekiah, he said here in this passage, listen to it. Behold, for health I had great bitterness. Or he said, for health I took bitter bitterness. And thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. How'd you get well, Hezekiah? He said, first I had the trials, and second, I knew God loved me, and third, I realized that God had forgiven me. Hezekiah got a glimpse of his record and saw no sins listed there. He said, God, where are my sins? And the Lord said, what sins? And Hezekiah got well. You go to my mother this morning. Ask her what kind of boy I was when I was growing up. Just ask my mama. Say, Mrs. Howell, on second thought, maybe you better not do that. But you go to her this morning and say, what kind of boy was Jack? Except you say, Brother Howell. She'll say, oh, Jack was a good boy. You'll say, what did he do that's wrong? And she'll say, well, I don't think he ever did anything wrong. Well, I sure have got some calluses on my behind then for nothing, Mama. You sure beat the fire out of me for nothing. I mean, I still hurt. I sure got some scars. But she wouldn't know. She's forgotten. She's forgotten that Halloween night. There's an old lady in our neighborhood, the crabbiest old lady. She invented crabbiness. She had to drink soup out of a straw. Oh, crabbiest. Every time a baseball would go in her yard, she'd take it, keep it. Football one time went in her yard. She kept the football. On Halloween night, we felt led to do something. We went down to the garbage dump, and we filled wagon after wagon up with tin cans and garbage. And we built a little fence around her yard out of wood about that high. And we filled her yard up with garbage. Isn't that awful? Terrible. And she called the police. Old crabby thing. Why in the world she called the police? Just because we filled a yard up with the garbage. I don't understand. Poor sport. You say, did Jack do that? And Mom would say, oh no, it must have been somebody else. She's forgotten the time when I was 4 years old. We lived on Center Street. And I was mad. And she just bought a beautiful new vase. And she mistreated me. I picked up that beautiful new vase and threw it down and broke it. She's forgotten about that. Wish I hadn't reminded her of it this morning. She's forgotten about that time when I took an aspirin, and I liked aspirins real well. And I went and got the whole can of aspirins, took 12 of them one time. That's why I've never had fever in my life. Has Jack ever been a bad boy? Oh, no, no. Jack's always been a good boy. She's forgotten about the time I was coming home from school, climbed a fence and flipped over in the lady's pecan, under a pecan tree in her orchard, stole some pecans and some fruit, and they called the police. I've got a real record. And the police took me home. She's forgotten that. She's forgotten about the time when I forgot to call home after school one day. I meant to call, forgot to call, went to a ball game, didn't get home till midnight, and I was supposed to be home 3:30 in the afternoon. She's forgotten about that. She's forgotten about the time when we used to walk across the train track, the bridge, and get under the trestle and stay there while the trains were coming over. We could have reached up and touched the train. Never felt impressed to do it, but reached up and touched the train. And just on a board about two by ten maybe, stood up there, nothing beneath us but a river 100 feet below us and the train right above us. And she found out about that. I thought I'd never sit down again. She's forgotten about it. You know why? She thinks I was a good boy. She thinks I was a good boy. And you go to God this morning and say, Heavenly Father, what kind of fellow is Jack? He'll say, I think I'm about to shout. He'll say, not a mark against his record. Not a one. You say you're perfect? Good night. No, I'm far from perfect. But the Father has marked all my sins away, cast them behind his back, separated them as far as the east is from the west. Hey! Run on that for a while. That'll help you get her to feel better. How'd you get well, Hezekiah? I got well because I had some bitterness. And then after that, God gave me some loving love, and he gave me some forgiveness. God, what kind of fellow is Jack Hiles? He's a good boy. A good boy. I've heard that fellow talk to ushers like nobody ought to talk to a living human being. I've heard that fellow preach to his deacon so hard that any deacon ought to have a right to kill him. What kind of fellow is that child? He's a good boy. Good boy. Says here, I said right here in the book, says, here's his name right here. Look under H is there. Hiles. Not a blemish. I said, why there's not a blemish? If you look under the chaise over here, where it says Jesus, you'll find all my sins listed under his name. And you'll find that one day he took my sins and wrote them down against his name. And God the Father called him to the halls of justice and said, here's your record, Jesus! And my stubbornness was written down under his name. And sometimes my unkindness was written down under his name. And sometimes my vengeance was written down under his name. And all of my sins under his name. And God the Father said, I pronounce you guilty! Jesus Christ took my guilt upon himself and went to the cross and paid the penalty. This morning, my record is blameless. God sees me as if I've never sinned at all. Hezekiah said, that made me feel better. But I hasten to say this too. It is a forgiving forgiveness. It is the kind of health that comes by being forgiven and also forgiving. Did you know it is not Christ-like to be forgiven? It is not Christ-like to be forgiven, for Christ never had to seek forgiveness. It is Christ-like to forgive. Did you ever forgive anybody when you knew they'd done something bad towards you? Huh? Did you ever give in? I never did, but if I ever do, I'm going to enjoy it. Did you ever give in? And did you ever... they did something bad, and they deserve something bad to happen. And you said, that's okay. You just had a bad day. Did you ever feel the cleansing? Huh? Did you ever feel the cleansing wave that came when you had said, you're forgiven? Have you ever felt the strength that comes by saying, I'm sorry? Have you ever felt the help that is derived from saying, I was wrong? Hezekiah, you look like a different man. I am. What happened to you, Hezekiah? I got well. Never felt better in my life. I thought you had an incurable disease. I did. Hey, what cured you? Well, he said, God gave me three things. He gave me a bitter bitterness. He gave me a loving love. He gave me a forgiving forgiveness. I was thinking last night how good God's been to me. Oh, what he's done for me. Oh, what he's done for me. If I should try through all eternity, I could never, never tell you what he's done for me. I was thinking how good God's been to me. And I think one reason I can carry the load I carry and preach the sermons I preach and try to carry on my shoulders the weight of 10,000 people sometimes. I've got 15 preachers right now, at least 15, whose burdens I'm carrying. I'll tell you one reason I can make it. Because I realize that I'm the object of a love that's incomparable. He loves me. Oh, he loves me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. And he forgave me.
And my name in heaven has no sins charged up against it. Wouldn't you feel wonderful this morning if every sin were forgiven? Huh? I mean, forgiven! 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 Are there things in your life you need to turn from? Are you standing condemned before God this morning? You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. Take the words, the testimony of Hezekiah, who is a man who was sick unto death, rose to live for 15 more years because God gave him bitterness, followed by a loving love, and ended with a forgiveness. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak to the hearts of all the people. We need to be in our church. We need to go to a Sunday school. We need to fellowship a while back in the back of the building. We need to see baptism. We need to sit in a Sunday school class. But dear Lord, we've had to be here, and we're thankful that you've given us this place. But you know how I've prayed for you to feed the people more than usual. I think you know how it may be. I've even worked a little harder than usual, maybe even studied a bit harder than usual in these weeks. And you dead sure know, dear Lord. You sure know this. You know I've carried a heavier burden for my people than these weeks. And I pray this morning that whatever is lacking in building, whatever is lacking because of Sunday school not being conducted, and whatever is lacking because of not being at home, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God shall take the little loaves and fishes I've tried to present this morning and feed the dear people. There are people here, dear Lord, that can't wait till the first Sunday in February to have their burdens lightened. There are people here that can't wait till the first Sunday in February to have wisdom for a decision. There are people here that can't wait till we get back to our auditorium to get right with Thee and to feel close to Thee. So I pray You'd speak to us in the closing moments of this hour. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. May I lovingly say to you, I know sometimes the medicine tastes bad. I know that sometimes the bitterness becomes more bitter. I know sometimes the gall is followed by the wormwood. The downiness is ruffled only to have the down replaced by thorns and thistles. I know that. But God's giving you medicine that's going to make you well. God's going to use you. This morning, if you're not His child, He loves you. If you don't know that you're saved, He loves you. He wants to forgive you of every sin. I was reading yesterday that amazing verse in Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He says, let's sit down and talk about it a minute. Now look, let's just chat about it. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool. God wants to forgive your sin this morning. He wants to write your name in heaven. He wants to make you His child. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, thank God, thank God, thank God. I've accepted His love. My sins are under the blood. Thank God I'm saved and I know it. Though I'm not what I ought to be, God does not see my sins. Jesus paid the price for them. Would you lift your hand, please? You know you're saved. You know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You can lower your hands. Thank you. I wonder who would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I don't know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. But I wish I did.
I want to know it. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. On the main floor. On the main floor. Who would say, pray for me that I may know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I want to know that I'm ready to die. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please, would you? On the main floor. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. Who else? I don't know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. On the main floor. Who else? Lift your hand quietly, please. God bless you. Who else?